Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are wrapping up March.
Oh, it's all over again. I like March.
Well, the market was kind of mixed.
Yeah. Right now, it may be, if the market doesn't perform the next few days, it could be the first month in a while that the market is actually down.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting to see. Well, we have a lot of things to talk about. You owe me a price for JP Morgan. That is the close to the pin that is going on.
I will send that right off.
Right off. Thank you. Here's a couple of things we're going to be talking about. A few things. The Fed policy mistake numero 2. Yield inversion spooks markets. Mueller investigation draws to a close. I don't even know what to say about that whole thing. I want to thank everybody for their birthday wishes and donations. And maybe give you a cruise update. I was on a cruise this weekend.
Was that for a birthday cruise?
It was a birthday cruise. My wife's like, hey.
Is it one of those naked cruises?
Not that I was aware of. Mm. Maybe I missed that part. But it's interesting because I came back to early Monday morning. They shoo you off the boat at like 7:30, 8 o'clock now. So I get off the boat. We drive back from Miami to Fort Lauderdale. And during the time on the boat, there were several different things that happened that I was really disappointed about. If you look back, I don't know, 15 years to the old cruise days, the food was just average at best. And, you know, the drinks were eh. And, you know, entertainment, okay. And then over the last number of years, they ramped it up significantly. And, you know, I travel on oftentimes Norwegian. This time I went on a Royal Caribbean. We got just a great deal that happened. And so we go on this cruise. And the first night is we go to the upcharge steak restaurant. You know, this is really fancy restaurant. I get there. I know this is minor, but there's no white tablecloths on the table. The food, the bread is stale. You know, the service is okay. So I'm like, what's up with this place? Oh, about a year ago, we decided to take out the white tablecloths to save some money. I'm like, okay, I see what's going on here. Then we get the steaks. They pour cold sauce on it. You know, like a little, they had Bordelaise sauce and they had au poivre. And it was just cold. I'm like, what's up with that? So the guy brings over some wine. He goes, listen, we want to buy you a bottle of wine. You know, we want to make a nice bottle of wine. I look it up. It's an $11 bottle of wine. Okay. So I'm like, okay.
Yum.
Yeah. So now,
that was $11 on the wine list.
$11 at any of the wine stores, anywhere online. Okay. $25 bottle of wine, maybe. Okay, a few things. I noticed, you know, you go to breakfast. I noticed it used to be you can pour your own orange juice or you can get your own iced tea or whatever it is. Now they're pouring it into glasses for you, and only giving you like half glasses. Then you get to the table. There's nothing on the table. There's no sweeteners on the table. There's no ketchup and mustard or whatever it is. They put that all aside. All these little bitty things are to save money, clearly. The next night, we go into the main dining room for dinner. Awful. Just awful. The lobster bisque tastes like they used just lobster base and plopped it in a cup with some water. I had duck. It was fatty and disgusting. Two bites for the whole entire duck. That was it. And this bread was disgusting. So then I said, they said to me, how is everything? I said, I got to tell you the truth, honestly, awful. That's all you have to do. Now I get to my room the next day, the phone starts ringing and ringing and ringing. This is the maitre d', this is the head of food and beverage, this is the chef, this is the thing. I'm like, what is going on? Well, we'd like to take care of you at dinner tonight. Okay, so I go to dinner, I sit down, all of a sudden there's a team marching towards me, okay? I got guys in tuxedos. I got chefs with their big hats on. Mr. Horowitz, we understand that you did not have a good experience. We'd like to buy you a bottle of wine, $11. And the special tonight is surf and turf that we upcharge usually $20. We'd like to buy you and your wife the surf and turf. Okay. So the first thing is I go and grab a little piece of bread, hard as a rock. I pull the guy over like, do you serve bread like this all the time? Oh, my God, that's awful. I'm so sorry about this. And long story short, they were just saving money on everything. I was coming back and thinking, you know, I should short one of these cruise lines.
I was thinking the same thing as you're telling this story.
Yeah, schmucko. Doesn't do it. Carnival comes out with the earnings today. Stock tanks 8.5%.
Yeah.
Royal Caribbean's down about 1.5%. That could be the one to hit because it's only
do it on the game at least.
Yeah, RCL. So that was my cruise experience.
So it sounds dreadful.
It was a fun cruise, but you
know. What's fun about it?
What was fun? When the casino won $42. What else was fun on the cruise? I mean, sitting at the, you know, drinking, hanging out, smoking some cigars, playing Rummy Cube with the wife, a couple of shows, some ice skating on the boat was fun. It was actually one thing that was really nice. Somehow magically, and I don't know how this is, my wife and I attained diamond status on Royal Caribbean. Don't ask me even how we did this because I can't, for the life of me, I can't figure this out. What do they get? What do they give us? Well, they give us free, we have a concierge suite that we're entitled to go to from 5 to 9. Drinks are free. Everything's free. Then between 5:30 and 8:30 in any restaurant or any bar, we get 3 cocktails or wines each. So that was good. That was nice. We got free pictures. They gave us 8x10 pictures. A couple other perks here and there.
What's in the picture?
The picture of my wife and me.
You can't do that?
Yeah, you could. I could do that, but the professional photographers take it on the boat or the quasi-professional photographers.
Yeah, I'm sure the picture is a keeper.
Yeah, well, it was okay. It was fine. I like to take pictures the first night of the cruise if you do it, because by the second and third night, I'm just feeling so heavy. You know, I'm so laden down with disgusting food. They had a hot dog stand that was good. Johnny Rockets on board.
Yeah. Oh, well, at least that's something.
Yeah, the hot dog stand was good. That was good.
But I don't know. Cruise, hot dog stand, I don't know.
Yeah, didn't really work totally. And they had a 24-hour pizza that wasn't bad.
You know, you always tell these stories about these cruises and all this. And it's just – and I never – you know me, of course. I'm not a cruise guy. I never liked the idea of being stuck on a boat. But you've done nothing to reverse my opinions.
No, yeah. Well, I will say I've been on some – spectacular cruises.
Yeah, you talked about that one super
the Azamara was unbelievable.
Brand new all the rest of
that
it.
That was great. The Celebrity Edge was awesome. The Royal Caribbean is middle of the road to me. I like Norwegian. I think the food is good, consistent. I would go on Norwegian all the time. But somehow we got...
Somehow you became a diamond member of this other cruise.
Well, this other cruise line, which I've been on twice. I don't even know how that happened. I have no idea. They don't even make the pillow, the towel... animals, great. You know, they usually take some sunglasses and put it on. They just throw a few things. They twist a towel around and shove it on your bed. And there's always that stink on a cruise. You know, that
Legionnaire's disease has aroma.
It's like the second day, there's always that, maybe they need to dump the toilet stuff out. You know, and there's always somewhere following you around on the cruise, you know? And there's always a lot of very heavy set people on a cruise.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. So you just got to know where to stand in the buffet line. Anyway, let's talk about the markets, shall we?
Yeah.
Well, so we had a quite the quick turn of what happened after the Fed came out last week and decided that they are going to not only keep rates the same as they are, but they said, you know what? We're probably not going to raise for the rest of the year.
And yeah. Isn't this kind of what we predicted?
Yeah, but weird. Like what? That's fine. But when you have a horse running and chasing a carrot, don't take the carrot away and expect the horse to keep on going. The horse doesn't know what the hell to do.
I agree. They should make it more mysterious. You don't make a long-term pronouncement.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
That was really dumb. So the market skyrocketed initially and then came back and it was down and then it was down again. And then on Friday, it was down like 1.7%. The whole thing, it's amateurs at the wheel, man. I don't know what they're doing. So right now we're seeing that markets also moved up over the weekend after the Mueller investigation said, I don't know what, because we're not quite sure what it says, but supposedly everybody won. Everybody got what they were looking for. And if they didn't, they're going to get what they're looking for. So somehow there was some issue there with excitement initially after. And by the way, the Mueller team released the report after the close of futures on Friday, and Barr ran through it, and gave his response before the futures opened on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about markets. Everything's about markets.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But it's semi-responsible.
Yep. Yep. Earnings for coming in from global companies. We saw FedEx when we talked about that last week. And also, Nike came out with earnings and really didn't impress anybody at all. Stock was down due to their outlook. And one of the big things that's happening once again is that we're seeing further inversion of the yield curve. Remember we had that big spook back in November, December?
Yeah.
Well, it got worse.
Yeah. Oh, this is a big, it looks like, how long has it been this way though? Is it supposed to last 10 days?
Well, but it's creeping up.
Whether it's creeping up or not, isn't the inverse that chart supposed to go for 10 days before it marks
a confirmation?
An indicator, a pre-indicator for a recession?
I mean, I think that, you know, it is possible. I don't know. I never heard of a specific time on a yield inversion that has to stay that way so that it confirms it.
I heard this a couple of times.
Really? That it's like at least 10 days?
10-day rule.
Oh, maybe there is. We still don't have the 2 and the 10-year inverting. That's the one that I'm looking for. But right now we have the 2 and the 5, the 2-month and the 5-month, the 2 and the several of the shorties against the 7 and the 5. But the 2 and the 10 is not inverted. That's the one that will be a big warning sign. Right now we have an amber light warning of what's going on. So
why don't you explain to some people out there that might not know what we're talking about.
Okay.
What this means.
So when we look at the yield curve is the plot of the line of the actual interest rates of various treasuries. You go from the left side, which is, let's just say, the 1 month, all the way to the right side, which is the 30 year. So bonds are issued by the treasuries and you can buy all these different ones. And in theory, what's supposed to happen is the longer the term that you're willing to buy a bond and hold on to it for, the higher the interest rate that you'll get. Very similar to a CD. If you're going to get a 3 month versus a 6 month versus a 5 year, you should get paid more to have the 5 year.
Yeah.
So what happens is that the bottom left of the chart is lower than the top right of the chart in terms of the yield curve along the way from the 2, the 3, the 4, the 10 year, the 20 year and the 30 year.
Yeah, so what happens, it should be always the lowest.
Yeah, so it does some weird movements a little bit here. It curves a little bit. It's not just a direct line, but it curves around a little bit. But what's happening of late is there's a big push up in the, we'll say, 7 years and below compared to the longer. So right now what's happening is that the, let's say that the 2 month bill is yielding higher than the 5 year bill, as an example. That's not normal.
Nor should it be.
Right. What that usually says is that there is, first of all, it's a natural slowing of the economy because short-term borrowing rates are higher than long-term, and therefore you're not going to borrow. And so it kind of not prohibits, but it slows down borrowing. And then the other thing is it's not good for banks at all. If banks have to pay a higher rate on interest for deposit accounts than they are actually getting in from loans, that's not a good thing. So that's why banks have been lagging. And you watch the banks on Friday, last Friday, when this really started picking up speed, the banks got trashed. So this is one big reason why banks are not doing well, because the yield curve is not cooperative right now with the banks and how they earn money. The other thing is that it has been historically a predictor of recessions about 12 months or so out when we see an inversion of the 2 and the 10. Some people look at the 3 month and the 10 year. I think the 2 and the 10 is the more predictive, but there's a lot of stories going around right now. But one of the things you're also seeing is a lot of people saying, well, this time is different. This time.
Well, that's another good predictor.
But yeah, this time is different. It's only doing this because yields around the world are lower. And I think 20% of all the world debt right now is at negative yields. So what it does is it pushes people into shorter term debt here, buying it, which is raising the price and lowering the yield. So there's a lot of money coming into shorter term treasuries right now because they can get a lot more on that than they can get the negative yield somewhere else. So they're saying that's the reason why things are a little bit odd. I don't know.
Well, if it is a trigger, That means that the recession would begin in a year. This is, seems to be one of the rules of this idea. Takes, like you said, 12 months. So 12 months out would be what? It would be March, end of March, April of 2020, which is just before the all of the primaries.
Oh, it's the Democrats. They're doing this.
Well, I didn't say that, but somebody could be doing it. But all the primaries would be happening, and then we'd be leading into the November election. And if the economy starts to go in the tank, then that would be another element that would probably boost the socialists that are running for president.
Oh, I see. Oh, we're with doing that now, are we? The socialists. So it seems,
yeah, the socialists. The
socialists. I mean, the funny thing is that even on the most liberal TV, they're starting to make fun of all the names of the people that are running. The hard to pronounce names, like all this,
like Ocasio Cortez.
Yeah, that's not AOC.
She's not running.
She's not running. Of course, she's not running because she's not old enough.
No, she's just a kid.
Right, but she's causing all sorts of problems, and some of her stuff is just so bizarre, so bizarre. But let's not get into political talk. Japan was down 3% overnight. Oil is having its best quarter since 2002, which is pretty good. The Case-Shiller Index, the 20-city price index that looks at the 20 major cities and what the price change has been over a year, was up 3.6%, which is the worst it's been in some time. It's been about 4.5%, and it missed expectations. So we're seeing that there's a drop in housing prices that's happening as well.
Huh.
So there's also some things about yields that's interesting. In the developed markets, the sovereign bonds are at their lowest level in years. Yields in Australia and New Zealand dropped to record lows. And trading volumes in Treasury futures were doubled the normal during Asia trading the 2 nights ago, when Japan's 10-year yields fell to the lowest since 2016. Just to make this very clear, there's two ways to look at this. One way, if you're really bullish, is, wow, rates are low. And when rates are low, what that means is that's good for stocks for a whole host of reasons. You could just, you know, go over a whole bunch of reasons why this is good.
Yeah, basic old-fashioned thesis.
Right, all this stuff, right? So the second thing is, if you are now of the bearish persuasion, you would say, you know what? There's a reason why yields are dropping so much, and that is not good because the economy is slowing down. And because we're seeing economies around the world slowing down, there's more stimulus being added, central banks are more active, all this kind of stuff that goes on. So
yeah, I'm more of a subscriber to that.
That's the more logical frame of mind.
Yeah, which is an error, of course, to be logical.
Yeah, well. So I don't know why they seemingly are still pushing up stock prices when we've seen this big rally that valuations are now pretty much priced in, and we're seeing that there is a global slowdown that's happening across the board, and we're seeing that companies like Nike and FedEx are warning, and we're seeing that the economic indicators are showing some weakness here and abroad. I don't know what is going on and what is on the mind of investors that they feel compelled to push up prices. I just don't understand.
Well, that's what we're supposed to do on this show.
Yeah. Not understand?
No, understand. Oh. You're going to have to
figure this out. I'll give you a few things. So you got FOMO, a lot of FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, we had this big drop and valuations got cheap. And you know what? How bad could it be? Because now we have the Fed as a safety net. So I think there's some of that going on. But maybe that analysts took down their estimates too low and companies will do fine. Maybe a lot of ETF buying that's going on. There's been record flows into ETFs in the stock side of things. Rebalancing that I thought would end in December. And of course, you got the old buybacks going on. So there's a lot of...
Yes, the buybacks.
There's a lot of things going on that could be... I think the buyback, the footprint of the buyback in the markets, so you can watch it, is if you see this constant climb through the day, just moving higher and higher slowly but surely... It looks to me that it's just the algos that are being positioned by the companies that are doing the buybacks that say, hey, we have $1 billion of buybacks, spread it out over a year, and just buy on a regular basis throughout the day. And every time you see the markets tick down, the buyers kick in. So, you know, you go, you're up, I don't know, 100 points in the Dow. It comes to 60 points up. Buyers kick in. Stock is up a little bit. They hold off. Comes in a little bit. They buy in. I think these algos are trained to buy on the dips.
It's, if that's what you're observing, they probably are.
Yeah, that's what I'm observing. Speaking about observations, Facebook, can it get any worse for Facebook? I mean, this newest thing that they put out, that they disclosed that they had a flaw on the social network that made passwords for hundreds of millions of users visible to employees. And now it's been fixed. So they did this review in January, and 2 months later, they're out with this information. So the passwords were stored in readable format. I mean, who does that? Isn't that like
I didn't know you could do it, but well, I guess their system can't. Well,
they did that. They, internally in their systems, they had readable passwords. That field wasn't encrypted at all. But of
very
course,
screwy.
They were
before you go on with that, you know, this company seems to have a lot of this kind of amateur hour stuff going on, which I think is really much of their problem, because there is an article in Boing Boing about this guy who, between 2013 and 2017, some period of very few years, he was just invoicing Facebook and Google for nothing. He didn't buy anything. He just set up fake accounts and started sending invoices in, and he, to the tune of $120 million plus dollars.
Ooh. And he got paid?
That he just cleaned up. He just kept getting checks.
And then what happened? Did he get caught?
Yeah, he got caught. But how does it happen in the first place? What, they just pay anything? You send them a bill and they pay it? They don't care because they're so cavalier? This cavalier is what it is. And so the same thing with the passwords. Eh, who cares? We didn't think we were going to be this big of a company anyway. I mean, that's almost like what it is.
Yeah, it's almost like they have too few people working in various departments. You know, they got two people in the billing department just rubber stamping these invoices. And then, I don't know, it's maybe they're just overwhelmed. I don't know why that would be the case. They have massive amount of employees and staff and plenty of money to pay for.
Well, it sounds like I would blame Sheryl Sandberg for this. She's the chief operating officer. It sounds like they're just mismanaged. I don't think she knows what she's doing. What's she doing writing books?
She's writing books. She has plenty of time on her hands. How many books do you have now? One or two?
I don't know if she's got one or two or whatever, but I know she's out in the stumping all the time. And it sounds like the company needs to have some hands-on people in there.
You know, maybe it's also because it's a technology company. They figure that all this stuff is covered by technology, and what's the point of using humans to oversee it? Maybe they've gotten so enamored with their own technology.
Dumb.
Well, I don't know. Something's not right.
Everybody who's ever worked in technology knows that's dumb.
Well, something's going on wrong. I mean,
try to sell other people on these ideas, but you yourself don't employ them.
I mean, I wonder when it's going to get to a time that people no longer trust Facebook for all sorts of things, for the privacy issues, for the security, for the news, you know, even though it's curated and whatever, they put it through their AI. And that's the other thing is these are the companies that have all this AI going on.
Which we know is a hoax.
Total hoax. Or how about this one?
It's always been a hoax. It was a hoax in the 80s with the sixth generation project or fifth generation project, whatever it was, and all the AI that was coming out of Stanford, which was all shelved and discarded. And then before that, I think in the 50s, there was a whole movement like this. It happens every 30 years or so.
Machine learning. That's the other.
The old operative word back in the 80s was expert systems. Remember that one?
I love that one. I haven't heard that one forever.
Oh, they got to it's got to be expert systems 2.0. That's how you reintroduce the term.
I like it. AI.
Nouveau expert systems.
Yep. But Facebook, just to finish up on this, said that most accounts weren't affected, even though there was hundreds of millions. And the only ones that were affected were using Facebook Lite, a version of the app designed for emerging markets. And the company hasn't found any evidence that the access was abused.
Brother.
Yet. And this is a company that comes out 3 months later, by the way, and tells you about this. That's what bothers me also. I mean, in terms of transparency and information that's material, you think the company would have come out with something a lot sooner than end of March for something that happened in January. Does it take that much time maybe to get the legal engines running to make sure that everything is airtight?
That's my guess.
Yeah. Well,
if you do anything irresponsible, you might get sued.
In the area of expert learning, machine learning, and AI, Volvo is looking to outfit their next generation of cars with a way to automatically stop drivers that are impaired from driving. So drivers with their eyes closed, erratic driving, not heeding automatic warnings, they can be alerted. They can car can automatically alert people.
They're going to call the cops?
Yeah, they can alert people for alert for assistance.
They're going to call the are your car's going to call the cops on you?
Probably. Rat. Damn car rat.
Automatic. That's going to be a car that doesn't get a lot of sales.
Yeah, who's going to buy a car like that? I mean,
I wouldn't.
Well, it's supposedly going to be you get a lower cost for insurance for the cars that are outfitted with this technology, and the car also has the ability to automatically stop and park the car. Do you know how many people are going to have arguments with their cars? People just you're going to see people pulled over to the side of the road screaming at their cars, kicking the tires, punching the doors. No, I agree that probably if you're driving with your eyes closed, not a good idea. But this
No, if the car could wake you up or they could use that lane adjustment feature.
Right.
But there's a lot of things you can do or honk at you or give a big air horn right in your face. That'll wake you up.
Ahuga. Ahuga.
But.
Well, turn the air conditioning on lower. But, you know, what's interesting. This flies in the face of the whole idea of how close we are to autonomous driving. If we were that close, why is Volvo going to come out with something in the mid or early 2020s that can do this? If, in fact, autonomous driving is right around the corner.
Yeah, why don't they just drive you home?
I don't understand this. Why would you need the car to be prodding you?
Yeah, the whole thing sounds... I think they were probably thinking this was a... Who's Volvo owned by now? Either India or the Chinese?
I think it's Tata. Doesn't Tata own...
Well, Tata owns somebody. Tata maybe they own the Volvo. Maybe.
I think somebody bought Volvo.
Well, then it would be.
You ever been in a Volvo?
What?
You ever been in a Volvo?
I was at the Volvo factory up in Sweden, and we got to race the Volvos around a closed track.
They're nice cars.
I think they're great cars. The diesels are dynamite. Of course, you can't get those here anymore.
They have a weird smell. They have a weird leather smell, a Volvo leather smell, almost like it's a little wet. Like it's like wet cow.
You know, you could buy a Volvo from the factory. I'm sure this is still in play. This was a couple of years ago. But you could buy a Volvo. If you want to buy a Volvo at the factory, you can get one. And you can get some of the smaller ones, which are really nice because they're very safe. But you get a Volvo from the factory, and then you can drive it around Europe. You can just get it over to the mainland and drive it and drive it and drive it. And then you can drop it off at the Volvo factory. And they'll fly you back to the United States and then refurbish your car and send it separately.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And now that they have their own hotel for people so you can go in there just before the car's being finished and watch it go down the assembly line.
Doesn't Mercedes do that out of Stuttgart?
I don't know what Mercedes does.
I think my grandfather bought a Mercedes once and he went over to Stuttgart and he picked up his car and took it on the Autobahn and tested it out and then they shipped it over for him.
Yeah. Well, this is a little different. They let you have the car for as long as you want in Europe.
That's nice.
And then they refurbish it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Report that futures trading liquidity is drying up, a seemingly retreat by traders from E-mini U.S. S&P 500 futures, which is a big issue, where about $200 billion changes hands daily. Has some worry that the stock market can be more susceptible to shocks. So there's a lot of something about... After last year's market move in November, December, and particularly in December, there's a lot less liquidity in the market. And I don't really understand what the reasons for this could be because it's not like there's less futures available. It's just that people aren't trading the futures unless they're just saying the hell with futures because, you know, with futures, don't forget, if you buy the future, you can go down. Let's say you buy one contract and let's say a futures contract is $5,000 to buy it. Well, if it goes down, you could lose your $5,000 and unlimited more.
Yeah, you can lose money.
Whereas, so your $5,000, which is trading on serious leverage, you could be down $25,000, let's say. Whereas an ETF, you buy in for $5,000. The worst comes to worst. even if you leverage it a bit, you can only be down a little bit. You know, how much are you going to be down? 10%, 15%. So you're down. If you levered it up twice, so you bought $5,000 and you levered it up, so you had $10,000 in, and the markets are down 30%. So you're down $3,000 on your $5,000. So now you're down to $2,000 net, right? You're not in the hole for more.
No. Puts and calls also work well.
Yeah, but you can't lose more than you put your money into it.
Yeah, it just goes to zero and you're done. You got nothing left and you can't do anything with it. And usually never goes to zero. It usually has worth a few pennies you can eke out.
It's scat out of it towards the end. But I guess maybe that's something that's going on. Futures traders are starting to realize that what's the point of this, even though they're...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You know, the trade at 24 hours. Well, I think this is the time of the show where we need to discuss something very important. Aside from the donations that I want to thank everybody for sending in that 5454 for my birthday. And if you haven't done so yet, it's still March, so you still have an opportunity to send in a birthday donation in the amount of 5454, which is my birthday twice. We really appreciate that. It's how the show goes and how we keep the show running, how we keep it fresh, and how we can buy more equipment when it blows up, things of that nature.
T-shirts.
And the T-shirts, of course. You can go over to DH Unplugged and donate at will. And we really appreciate when you do so. It means a lot to us. And we thank you in advance for your help. But we need to talk about Apple's streaming service announcement. Did you watch it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I watched the whole thing.
You watched the whole thing? I couldn't make it through the whole thing.
Oh, I was doing other work, but I watched the whole thing.
Once the stars started coming out, I was done.
You were what?
I was done. Once all the stars started coming out, it looked like another Academy Awards.
Oh, it was the worst. You could. They all seemed like douchebags. You know, it seems to me, and I was tweeting about this thing as it was going on, and I felt it was like Hollywood. Somebody wanted to do some streaming thing for Apple, and all the Hollywood money guys come out and say, hey, we can help, because they see it's just as a money grab.
Oh, total money grab.
There is going to be zip coming out of this thing in terms of good products. I mean, even what they describe sucks.
Now, let's talk about some of the things they describe, because now they have Apple News. I think Apple News is interesting. You can pick what particular sources that you want to read, and it kind of puts it all together, and you can zip through a lot of stuff all at once. So I use that. You know, I go through my normal move. I do a kind of what's happening on Twitter, what's happening on Reuters, what's happening on Bloomberg. Let's see what's happening on Apple News, where I got a bunch of other stuff in there. And that's kind of my news flow for the evening, you know, late nights or something like that, when I want to just read some stuff. But now they have Apple, and this is the big thing. Apple, the company that innovates, can only come up with a plus at the end of the news as this big, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Apple is announcing Apple News Plus, which plus means plus $9.99 per month. So it's the free plus $9.99. Now they have family sharing, which is nice. No ads and no sharing of data. They hit hard. I don't know if you noticed this, but they hit hard on privacy and no sharing of data.
Yep. That's all they talked about.
Right. That was a smack right to Facebook.
So I guess so.
And they're not going to share their information with advertisers, even though there's no ads. So I'm not sure how that works. They're not going to give their information back to the subscription providers, you know, like Wall Street Journal or whoever else is on there. Hundreds of magazines. I didn't even know there was magazines anymore. But
well, they got hundreds of them.
Hundreds of magazines. Then they have Apple Pay. They have 10 billion transactions this year. All payments should be made in this way in the future, they're saying, of course.
Yeah. Of course they say that.
But they're taking Apple Pay one step further. Now they got the Apple Card.
Yeah. Made out of titanium.
Titanium with easier application, lower cost. You can sign up on your iPhone. There's no fees. You get iMessage for customer support. And the card is backed by Goldman Sachs.
And for some reason, there's no late penalty.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too. Didn't you find that weird?
Yeah, how do you do that?
I don't even understand how that works. So you can pay from Apple Card for things that are not on Apple Pay, but everything runs through your phone. I did like some of the features that Apple Pay now has, where you could see where your spending habits are, what's happening with regard to maybe splitting up how much dining and all that. It makes it a little bit easier to look at.
It's a good breakout.
Yeah, that was kind of good. It shows the actual merchants instead of like 1-800-422-R73822. You're like, what did I spend there? And you got to like try to track down.
Yeah,
why I spent that $23.
American Express and these other guys, it's not that hard the way it is, but okay.
But they have a new daily cash feature, which is they're making it look like this is a brand new thing. Like Discover Card or these other cards have cash back features. So instead of points, they're giving you 2-3% back on all of your purchases. So this is the game they play, right? So the merchants charge an extra few percent. They keep a little spiff for themselves and then you get it back. So there's a couple of percentage points involved in all of this from the merchant, from what you pay and all that. And so you get money back. So I always thought of why have the merchants pay so much money? Cut down their pay. They'll be more profitable.
Yeah.
They don't have to give it back to me.
Yeah. That's not the way they see it.
Yeah. No, of course. So there's no late fees, no over the limit fees, no international fees, and much more security. It's going to be MasterCard and Goldman Sachs. So that's another thing. The other thing they announced was Apple Arcade, which is a
script. Yeah, that's a dog. That thing has a, when they started, I'm surprised they didn't have a dog howling. That thing has got nothing going on.
I don't understand. I mean, first of all, let's just say, I think we could both agree that none of this is innovation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Not one thing that they announced is innovation. All it is an extra add-on, bolt-ons of the stuff they have already. A way to try to grab more money from you because obviously their Apple phone sales are dying at the vine. So they got to come up with some other ways to figure out how to make some money and keep the whole machine rolling.
Keep the balls in the air.
Yeah, now they have this Apple Arcade subscription service to play 100-plus games, another $9.95 probably a month. And again, hitting hard on the security and no ads and all that. So now you can play games in real time. This is right after the Google announcement of their whole game studio. But you can do games in real time and go to different machines and play and all this other stuff if you want to feel like doing that. And then they put some nice videos up there.
The videos show that the games are lame. And it's the problem that they have here. This is a huge blunder. These games are exclusive to Apple. They're never going to be on another platform. That means the game developers aren't going to develop for this. They don't want to develop for a third tier system that is not really where the money is. There's, unless Apple's overpaying, but I don't think they are. This is nonsense. This game thing is a total joke.
Yeah, I would agree. That's all we need is another gaming. And the other thing that's interesting is that I was talking to somebody about gaming and that how gaming, the art of creating gaming is not just like, okay, let's hire some developers to do a game. You know, these companies that do these games are very sophisticated and have this down really well. Maybe you told me about this. Was it you?
Maybe.
And that, just trying to, start up this. I think we talked
this
about
this. This is like a Hollywood production.
Yep.
And if you look at a Hollywood production, you just sit there in the theater before the thing stops rolling and look at the credit roll. The movie you just watched had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people working on it in one way or another. Mm-hmm. That's this exact same thing that happens to happen with these high end. I'm not talking about the everyday games, but the high end games that they develop all these expensive tools for. This is not some guy in his garage. And so, yeah, it's a huge effort. And you have to have a lot of thought put into it because the game has to be compelling enough that you're going to get people to buy for $70 or whatever they're going to charge. This thing that Apple's got going on, just a bunch of simple, dumb games is ridiculous.
The other thing is that with regard to – there's one more thing they announced, but these were a lot of announcements at once, and it almost smelled of desperation of trying to throw a lot against the wall that hopefully something hits.
Well, I would agree with that based on one thing and one thing only. Apple has a history, and everybody, all the pundits have pointed this out. Apple has a history of holding out and holding out and holding out until they roll out. Hold out, then roll out. this was all, and it's going to happen in 6 months. It'll be next year sometime. It'll be the fourth quarter. They never did that before. They never pre-announced anything.
Well,
fall of 2019. Well, this is like, so, you know, what are you six saying? Months
is this,
away.
Is this all because of the fact that they have falling sales in other parts of their company?
That's what you just said.
So you're thinking that's why they're doing this too. You're agreeing with me.
Yeah, I am.
Mm, interesting. Then we have Apple TV. I don't even know what to say. It's Apple TV Plus.
Plus.
Apple TV Plus. It's a new service dedicated to the best stories ever told. So there's Apple TV, which is kind of like a Hulu or a Roku kind of service kind of thing. And you could sign up for all the different subscriptions all in one package. So it kind of looks like a bit of a Roku maybe or something. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't that so much. I mean, they actually run on the Roku, which I thought was bold.
Yeah, Roku moved up and then it moved down. But they're not going to have Netflix on there.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a Roku that's just nothing but trouble.
Really?
It's a Roku. I think it's the Roku 4. So it's a high HD. It's the 4K version of the Roku. It just flashes. It goes off. It can't, you know, if it goes into standby, it just, you have to reboot it. I have to reboot it every time I use it.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So this Apple TV Plus is when all these celebs started coming out.
Yeah, they all started showing up.
And they're going to have this morning news thing with Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston. And they're going to have something with Oprah, I guess. And
Oprah's going to do a couple of shows, a couple of documentaries, and then she's going
to
have her
book club. Spielberg's in there.
Spielberg's going to, I don't know what he's up to, but he's going to bring back amazing stories, a 1920 science fiction little tabloid, a little paperback magazine that used to come out. It looks like a small book. And these amazing stories, which were, he's decided to, I guess he bought the franchise or something, which has been out of business for years, but he bought the name. I don't know how. And they're going to do all this kind of like a Twilight Zone series, but from amazing stories, which they can't really use the real stories because they're kind of not family friendly. I don't know. And it's every time Spielberg's tried to do something like this, he's just been, he hasn't been able to do it. I don't know why, but he's not a good TV guy.
I am certain that Apple is paying up for this big time.
They have to be.
They have to.
That's why these guys flock to them.
I wish they would want to do something with podcasting somehow. That Apple Podcast Plus. You know?
Yeah, that would do it.
That would bring it on. That would bring it on. All right, moving away from Apple here because it's quite the story. By the way, the stock was down yesterday and it was down again today. Today was down about 1% or so. Yesterday was down about 1.5%. Today was dealing with the whole Qualcomm issue. They were found to be in the Qualcomm won one of the cases and they were possibly going to stop some of the importation of some of the iPhones. And then it was another part was different.
Yeah, Apple's going to have to pay up.
Yeah, sure. Brexit got a bit of a reprieve with an extension, and now it looks like there's a desire to get Theresa May out of position. There's going to be a bit of a coup.
Well, that's not totally true. She said that she'd quit if they voted for her deal.
She's going to quit if they voted for what she wants.
Yeah.
Well, how does that make sense?
Well, makes sense to her.
Well, maybe everybody hates her so much that they said
That's what everyone's thinking.
Yep. Listen, you hate me so much, here's what I'm going to do. You vote for what I want, I'm done, I'm leaving.
Now I was watching some British news, Sky News recently or today, and they're talking about this situation and somebody came with the theory says she's actually protected for 1 year because they tried to oust her and they failed, so she got something. There's some rules about the parliamentary system in England where you get the Prime Minister gets to stay for a year if they challenge her and she wins. So she's still in there. So they think that she's just going to say, screw it. I'm going to, once she gets her votes and say, I was just kidding. I'm not going to leave. I'm staying.
Could you imagine? I just had this
vision. They're all thinking.
I love watching the parliament and watching how they go at each other and stand up and sit down and stand up and the fine gentleman from, could you imagine President Trump being the Prime Minister of England in that room? Oh, that would be great.
It would be great. It would be very entertaining. It's entertaining enough, but that would be outstanding.
Hey, yeah, I'm talking to you with the wig on. Yeah, hey, Shorty, listen, sit down. I'm getting it. What's with the hand movements? You know, it would be funny. What about this new new sneaker gate thing going on here? So Nike was moving lower yesterday after, quote, sensationalist attorney Michael Avenatti.
Oh, yeah.
Tweeted they'll be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school and college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike. So he tweeted that he said, tomorrow at 11 a.m., we'll be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school basketball scandal that's perpetrated that we've uncovered. The criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball. Just minutes later, Nike shares were coming off the low. Why? Breaking headlines that Avenatti has been charged with fraud and trying to extort Nike for $20 million.
I've heard both 20 and 40. Now, this has to make you wonder whether the whole Stormy Daniels thing was just an extortion scheme.
Well, he was fired by Stormy Daniels last month, and supposedly she's coming out with some kind of reason. She's going to talk about what happened and what she's doing.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Very interesting. Well,
this guy was a sleazeball, and that was that.
If it is an extortion scheme.
The funny thing is his partner in crime was the lead.
To Smollett.
No, not. Yeah. Well, his partner in crime was the guy. No, it was he did Smollett. Yeah, he did Smollett, and he's also a CNN legal guy, analyst.
Yeah.
On the air.
But he wasn't charged.
I thought he was.
Maybe yet. But this is the second time Avenatti's been arrested. This guy really went after the wrong group when he was, you know, he's running for president. I may run for president.
Yeah, good luck.
I mean, this guy was really outspoken on the whole Trump thing. I mean, he could have just done the lawsuit, done the circuit a little bit, but this guy had his face on TV constantly. And there's also some suit against him for misappropriating client funds.
Yeah, in L.A., apparently.
There's a whole story on this. Very, very fascinating. Foreigners are dumping the most Chinese shares on record as the stock trading connects. This is a connection between mainland China and Hong Kong. As they started, they moved away from risk. The overseas investors sold about 1.5 billion of mainland shares on Monday, the biggest single day since the second exchange link was opened in 2016. And the Shanghai was down 2%. And then we'll end this section and segment on something from Trim Tabs. Trim Tabs is saying that, hey, recession? What recession? So they talked about this dramatic shift of the monetary policy by the Federal Reserve, and it's getting everybody all upset and all nervous. But they said that, you know what? We see that a proprietary leading index of macroeconomic indicators climbed to a two-month high last week, and it's just 0.1% below its record high in September, which I find fascinating because when you look at the Citi Economic Surprise Index, it's kind of hanging in there, you know, negative 40. Housing numbers came out. It was pretty bad. Consumer confidence came out today. It was much lower than anticipated. But they're talking about real wages are going up and there's a big acceleration that they count. They look at payroll information. They look at the actual tax receipts on payroll. So they said that there was a 5% increase year over year in the past 4 weeks, which could have been, I'm just saying, back pay from all the government workers that were laid off.
These guys take that into account, so I'm not buying that necessarily.
Maybe. So they said there's not going to be a recession anytime soon. The Fed's policy shift has more to do with action in the financial markets than with the change in the economy.
Well, what does anytime soon mean to him?
Probably the next year.
Does that mean 6 months? Does it mean 2 years?
Well, until they change their mind. That's how it means.
That's what it means. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Yeah. All right, we talked about donations. Go to the website, dhunplugged.com, episode number 449. And you can donate there or on the site. Let's a couple of more things before we get to the weekly stock picks that we'll talk about. I thought this was good because finally we're finding a way to break this impasse with Brexit. So there's a psychic. His name is Yuri Geller.
Guy.
He spends spoons psychic.
He's the phony spoon bender.
He wants to bend Prime Minister Theresa May's will against Brexit using mass telepathy.
Yeah.
You think it'll work?
Oh, yeah, sure. Some sort of money grab, seems to me.
Of course, naturally. Got to bring back Cleo. Remember Psychic Cleo?
Oh, there was crazy. There was a bunch of those women that were
on TV.
Psychic readings. Call me for your psychic reading.
Yep. Let's see. Rats.
I forgot all about those women.
Rats. Nick the Rats. Suspected organized criminals have been stuffing the bodies of dead rats with drugs, phones, and cash, and throwing them over the walls of a British prison to get the contraband into inmates is a new way of getting stuff in there.
Dead rat tossing?
Yeah, you take a rat, you either, I guess, kill it or breed it, or I don't know what you do. You kill it, maybe you gut it, and then you shove phones and drugs in there, and you sew it back up and throw it over the gate. And I guess the prisoners get the, you know, is anybody noticing all these prisoners walking in with dead rat? Nobody's noticing this. You got rats, they got a rat tail hanging out of your pocket, you know, nobody's noticing any of this. Or nobody's noticing all these dead rats that are in the garbage pail somewhere.
Jeez. Yep. Gutted.
Yep. We have a new thing, you know, there's waterboarding, right? That's a way of interrogation, and it's outlawed for the most part, but it's a pretty effective method of spooking the crap out of somebody and making them give up the goods, right?
Yeah.
So in Indonesia, they've been doing something called I'm calling it snake boarding. So they've apologized. They seem to have, they draped a live snake around the neck of a suspect to persuade him to confess during an interrogation session. I think I'd break under those conditions.
Well, it depends on the snake.
You got a big ass snake and the,
you know, I've never had a problem with snakes. I used to like snakes.
A big boa constrictor that's starting to...
Well, if it's a boa constrictor, it's going to choke you.
Yeah, so if it's not a boa constrictor, it's going to bite you.
Well, not necessarily. Snakes usually don't bite you.
What do they do? They don't lick you.
No, they just squirm around and go their own merry way. I mean, I've handled a lot of snakes there. I never get bit by one. Mm. I mean, it's a rattler. Yeah, you're going to get bit.
Yeah, well, it was an idiot. We'll see what happens. All right, now, the last story I have a lot of questions on, and maybe you can help me with this, okay? Scientists in New Zealand said they found a USB memory stick containing holiday photos inside a frozen slab of seal poo. So a lot of things come to mind here. You know, the poo, which is valuable for studying health in leopard seals, had been stored in a freezer for years before it was thawed out for analysis. Now, first of all, how did the USB memory stick get inside of the seal poo? This seal ate it somehow? Was it a fish? The fish ate it? The seal ate the fish?
Well, it might be like a fish lure, you know, floating down. You don't know what the thing looks like. It might look like something that if he saw it in the water, he'd ingest it. It's possible.
So maybe a fish ate it. The seal ate the fish, digested it.
Oh, that's possible, too. Now you're getting more metaphysical.
So now then it poops it out, and then somebody has the job of going out there and finding this stuff and putting it into it contained photos of sea lions at Porpoise Bay of New Zealand, South Island, and a video of a mother sea lion and her baby frolicking in shallow waters. Do you think somebody's going to claim this? I mean, they have some kind of a partial image of a boat or something, or a car or something on it.
I have no idea.
It could be mine. It's possible.
It's one of your crazy stories you dig up. I don't know where you get these.
Makes the show interesting. All right. With that, what else do you have? Anything to add?
We talked about. No, I'm full. I got the cough drops. They showed up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's from Chris.
Yeah.
Which
two bags? He sent me. They're all elderberry. Seems to be some big deal with these guys. But I got some zinc and some mint flavored and some other one.
How many did you get?
I got two bags.
So I got the honey lemon. I'm looking at it right here. The honey lemon elderberry. And what's the other one? Hang on.
Yeah, I got that one too. That's the other one I got.
And I got the elderberry original elderberry.
Oh, I didn't get the original.
I'm going to open it up right now. These bags are really hard to open. They have one of those really good Ziploc things. Here we go. Taking a It smelled a little waxy. This is what it sounds like when you open one up.
Yeah, it's all sealed.
For those of you that aren't sleeping yet, that's what it sounds like. Okay. All right, moving along. I do want to mention one thing, a couple things before we get to the game. First of all, you can listen to the Disciplined Investor podcast. I had Ross Gerber on this week. This guy is an unapologetic, absolute 100% bull when it comes to Tesla. I mean, there is no other like him.
He's the Tesla bull.
Oh, he's a Tesla bull. He's like a Tesla fanboy in the days of fanboys. And he was giving us also, he actually was pretty critical, though, of Elon Musk's tweet. So you got to listen to that whole discussion. There's a lot of discussion around this.
Sure.
So we talked about that. We talked about Apple. We talked about a variety of the thing, Netflix and a few other things. He's a big bull in a lot of these big name companies. We had that on. You can listen on Thursdays and on Sundays, each and every Thursday, Sunday at 12 noon Eastern time to Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on the No Agenda Show, where they deconstruct news, information, politics, everyday nonsense like no other, and have an arsenal of clips and jingles audience provided that is second to none.
Second to none. Probably second the best produced podcast there is.
I would say so. I would say so. The other thing I'll mention is if anybody's interested in money management and all, just go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Check out all the strategies we have. We're here to help, as they say. So we do manage money. That's what we do here. All right, let's get over to... Oh, I have a doozy for tonight on the game, too. I have a doozy. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock pick section. You can go to ghunplugged.com to see all the names that we discussed in this segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as additional important disclosures. Two breaths. But that's on DH Unplugged. It's live and ticking and going on there. So, yeah, I have a doozy tonight, but let's go through these. Hey, why don't you take the nice list of mostly green.
We have all green except one stock.
Yeah, one stinker.
And what would that be, you think?
Bag. The bag.
Facebook short.
Yep.
Which I advised you against, by the way.
We were up last week on it. Just kind of ticked back. I'm still looking for 147.
So Medtronic is up. Insider's Choice. DSP Group is up 6% because of the charts. One of my picks, I believe. Church & Dwight is up 7%.
Yeah, that's the all-time love stock. High. All-time high.
That's your love stock. Yep. Kinder Morgan out of the blue. Insider's buying. It went up. That's a screwball one. Your Tesla short is that should be jointly shorted that.
Yep.
That's up 11%. It's pretty good. Kraft Heinz, which I believe was yours, it's up 2%. Hain Celestial, which is mine, is up 8% because I was merger sniffing. And then you nailed a big one here with Smartsheet short. You shorted Smartsheet, which I never heard of.
Yeah, she shorted Smartsheet by the seashore, by the way.
40% in one show.
Yeah, you know that, right?
Yeah.
She short Smartsheet by the seashore.
And now you have decided to go with Hunter Maritime, a Class A stock, and you're shorting it at $95.
Well, that was the last price. But look at the percent change today.
416%.
That's today. It was up from, I think, $8 like 4 days ago.
Oh, so you're shorting it because of the jump?
It's ridiculous. I have a 20% stop. I should probably put a – I was thinking about doing something different, like just putting no stop on there. And just let it ride down to, you know, close it out at 20. But.
Oh, that's an idea. But know. It would be a little different.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of stocks.
Oh.
Let me make some one, I'm make going some long. Going long on Revlon. I've noticed there's a lot of action with Revlon and Avon.
Something's
going on with the both of them. And I think one's going to buy the other. Or something's going to happen. Whatever the case is, Pearlman bought a whole bunch of Revlon stock.
So let's see.
So I want to jump on that one. And then I was looking at the charts. I got this theory. In fact, I think it was.
Are you going long on Revlon and Avon?
No, no, just Revlon.
Okay, Revlon.
I don't want to do this. This is dumb.
Oh. So what's the reason? Something going on?
Well, no, insiders. Insiders.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
It would be the same. I could have picked Avon, either one. But they both seem to be active for some reason. Then I had this, was it Hain Celestial or one of the stocks? I found this, I've been looking at these stocks that would be, if you look at charts, it's under the category of triangle descending.
Triangle descending. Okay. A descending triangle.
Yeah. And it usually is a bad, you know, it marks the end of a life of a stock sometimes. But with this company, it seems to just be showing off a cycle. And this is Obelon Therapeutics.
What's that symbol?
O-B-L-N.
O-B-L-N, enter. Trading at $1.48.
Yeah, I'll need 20% on this.
Okay.
It just seems to have a baseline that goes down to about a buck, whatever, buck something, buck 20. And then it skyrockets. And that skyrockets into the hundreds. It does a triple. And then, so it's a tripler. I'm looking for a triple here. And then it goes back and drifts back down. Then it jumps up again. It's done this three times that I can see.
Hmm.
But it shows up under triangle descending. But it doesn't have the earmarks of a classic, you know, dead in the water stock that you're never going to make any money from.
You know, the thing about the triangle descending is it follows that trail down. But if you break above that top of the triangle, that's where it jumps.
Yeah, that's what I did with that. I think it was Hain that had that one of the stocks that's on the list, that's still on the list. I used that trick.
Mm.
Because what happens is the triangle, it does. It goes above that top of the triangle or that line that becomes the more the triangles merging, I guess. And it jumps above that. It seems to always go up. It's an interesting thing to look at.
Yep. These technical analysis measures oftentimes are they're confirmations because a lot of people look at them. That's one of the big issues there. So a lot of people are following that kind of thing, and then it just moves in that direction. So, all right, good. All right, we're going to end it there. And see you in April.
Yeah, I will.
See you in April. All right.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.